Blog Talk Radio.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of life we bring.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman,
songs of life we bring,
songs of love and songs of
joy. Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Welcome you in the studio on tonight, and we pray that this show will be a blessing to all of you that's listening in on tonight. Gather your sisters, your girlfriends, and let's just spend some time enjoying and respecting and loving who we are.
Amen.
Can you be free to be
Amen.
You?
I like that. You know, I think that I love this topic first and foremost. And I think that is a question that stays on our mind, especially as women, continuously, being able to be free to be yourself. You know, you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is start putting on your makeup. Maybe sometimes you might not even feel like putting on your makeup, but you're like, okay, I got to go outside in front of everybody. I don't want anybody to think I look crazy. And so you start doing all of these different things because of what everybody else thinks or what everybody else expects, and sometimes you don't want to have to be held to that standard or that obligation of what everybody else wants from you. And so we do have to learn how to be okay with being ourselves, and not just okay, but content with being who we are.
Confident.
And I think that once we are content and confident in being who we are, there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs. There's going to be a lot of us hitting more of our, reaching more of our goals, being more successful, because when we care so much about what everybody else thinks, we find that we put limits on ourselves. And we'll get more into that in the show, but definitely this topic is a great topic for all women around the world.
Amen. You know, I'm going to be transparent on tonight, because I know people are listening to this show and they're saying, exactly what is it meant, free to be me, you know, free to be me. What all does that mean? Because we could talk about some stuff that we know is obvious stuff, some external things, you know, when we talk about our weight, when we talk about our hair, when we talk about, you know, I don't like my nose, I don't like my eyes, or my lips are too big, or, oh, I don't like my arms, they're saggy. And we could talk about all these exterior things. But what I found is this, and I'm going to give you a scenario, and this is not even about women. I'm just going to talk about in general. They did a statistic study, and what they did is they took two men, one man that was a looker, obvious looker, and one man that wasn't a looker. And so when the women began to scroll down, they came to the obvious looker man. And they was like, ooh, you know, this he looks good. You know, so that automatically put this man at the top of their radar. He looked good. When they scrolled to the next guy, they was like, ooh, he don't look that great. So when the question was asked, which one would you prefer, which one would you say is more quality?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the guy that looked the best was the one that all the women gravitated to. So then they took it to the next phase. They gave each person's profile, who they were, how, you know, who they were, what they did. And so on the looker, he was he worked in a factory, and he made $30,000 a year. The guy that was not a great looker, he actually was a CEO of his own company, and he made $150,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, which one looked better? Do you know that immediately the shift went to the guy that didn't look well? I say that to say is that I think I believe that what comes from the inside of us, you know, when you I hear people say, you always see sometimes, and I want to be careful about saying what looks good and what don't, because it's preferences.
Beauty is in the eye
of the beholder, so it's preferences. But, you know, I've heard people say, oh, how did she get with him, or how did he get with her, you know, that kind of thing. But I think when you are confident, God confident on the inside, it reflects on the outside, and that's why you can see people who, to the American standards, are obese.
Mm-hmm.
Or to the American standards or whatever, but they are walking in confidence and assurance, and they know who they are. And when people have a confidence about them, it doesn't matter what they look like on the outside, because they will generate, we draw to us the conditions of our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfect example, because if you are confident, no matter what you look, what the look is on the outside based on the cosmetics, it draws people towards you.
I believe that that is true. You know, as you were speaking, one of the things that my mind went back to us placing limits on ourselves because of what other people think.
Mm.
You know, a lot of times we have different dreams, different visions, different ideas that we get excited about. You say, okay, I'm getting ready to start this business, and you may have never been a business person before. But I want to start this business. I don't know how to do it, but I really, really want to do it. And I think I'm going to quit my job, and I'm going to give all my time and dedication to this business. And then your best friend comes across and says, well, how are you going to survive? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to do all these things? And then you start changing your mind. And so we start limiting ourselves, and we're not able to be free being ourselves, because your greatest desire is to start the business. But because of what other people think
or logic
and reality, you don't start the business. And you find yourself going along with the crowd. And so you place limits on yourself. Because if we really went after the things that we wanted from deep down inside, if we really went after those things, we would find ourselves hitting more and more and more of our goals and being more and more successful and being more filled with joy. Sometimes we get into relationships with people, and you don't want to tell them how you really feel when you first get into the relationship. And I'm not that type of person. If I like somebody, I'm going to say, hey, I like you. You might not like me back. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's so much easier being free to be yourself, speaking up what's on your mind, speaking out what's on your mind. You know what I'm saying? So that when you are engaging with people, you don't have to worry about what they're thinking. You don't have to worry about what they think about you. What's most important is what you think about yourself.
Mm. That's good, because what you just said, and you know, and I know I've been guilty of that. You just said, I don't mind, I don't have a problem with letting somebody know if I like them. And they don't. And that doesn't mean they have to like me back. See, that comes with a God confident, because when you're confident in you, you don't mind being transparent, because the reason why we're not transparent about how we feel, like you meet somebody or you see somebody and you're like, wow, I like him, but then we'll wait for him or wait for opportunities to come to us instead of us pursuing opportunities. And, again, I think that's a God confident, but what it is fear. What's the fear? Fear of rejection. Most of us want to approach approach a man that we find an interest in and let them know that. You know, we might do little flirty things, but how many of us really will walk up to a man and say, wow, you know what? You're absolutely gorgeous. Would you like to, you know, go for coffee or something? We don't do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying all women don't. I'm just saying on the average women don't. Same thing. I want to start a business, but I have to go to the bank, or I got to go somewhere to get, you know, let's say go to the bank because I don't need a business loan. But most of us won't go take that next step to go to the bank. Why? Because we don't want to hear no. So the fear here is rejection.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be rejected. And because we don't want to be rejected, we're scared to take risks. And if you're scared to take risks, you're not an entrepreneur, because to be an entrepreneur means one who takes calculated risks for personal profit. And if you're not willing to take risks, and most of us don't want to fail, and you got to fail many times to succeed once.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, fear of failure, fear of taking risks, and even when you really just break it down, fear applies everywhere across the board, especially when you talk about rejection. Pardon me, that's my phone. But, you know, my whole point is that it's almost like we're afraid to be ourselves. We're afraid to let our true self out into this world. Because if you want to start a business, if you want to quit your job, do what is inside of you to do. I'm starting my own business. I don't have money sitting in the bank. I don't have a loan from a bank. And so most people would say, well, how are you starting your own business? I'm putting one foot in front of the other. For me, if I don't have the money, I know where to go, and I know how to make things happen in order to get the money. God has gifted us with so many talents and so many abilities that I can go out and I could do something for somebody, and all of a sudden money starts coming in. And then I take that money and utilize it for my business. And I'm just saying, we have the limits off. We don't step out because the first thing we tell ourselves is, I don't, I can't, I don't have, I'm not smart enough, I can't afford, I can't do this. And we put those limits on ourselves, and then that, again, stops us from really being who God created, all of who God created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying all of who he created you to be, the passions that are inside you. If you're a passionate person and you keep a lid on your passion, it's just, why go through this world? You only have one life to live, and you're living it according to what somebody else thinks and expects from you. Why not go after the things that you want in life? If you're in a relationship and your relationship is not going the way that you want it to go, why not put steps together, put a plan together to help it progress the way that you want it to go? And when you find, you know, of course it takes two to be in a relationship, but when you find that you give the most that you can, because a lot of us won't, we stop ourselves from being ourselves because, well, you know, my mate is not doing what I want him to do, so I'm not going to do this. And so you put a limit on yourself. You stop yourself from being that loving, passionate person that you truly, really are. You won't act because they won't respond.
That's kind of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Exactly. And so what I'm saying is, whatever is in you to do, that passion that's moving you and that wants to drive you, let it drive you, because you'll find that you just reach so many new heights in your life.
Amen. You know, as you were saying that, one of the things we have, you know, I'm making an assumption, but one of the things I think we have to really get to a point of is, and I'm speaking particularly to believers. And this doesn't have to – I'm speaking to believers right at this moment, because one of the things I think we have to get to a point of is that when we say we're a believer, when we say that we that we're Christ, that we're Christians, that we're Christ-like, that we're believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we say that, then we're saying that we are children of God. And the Word of God says when you're children of God, he said, my sheep know my voice and they follow. In other words, we follow. Now, I'm saying this for a reason, and I'm not getting super duper spiritual, because that's not where it's at. It's relationship. But I want to make a very clear point, because in order for us to say that we are followers of Jesus Christ or that we believe in God, what that really is saying, if we say we believe in God, then we got to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And in order for us to believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then we got to know what the Word of God says. And I'm saying this to say, because when we walk in fear, and fear means I'm simply not going to go out of my comfort zone, I'm simply not going to step forward, but whatever that thing is, rejection, whatever it is, and we walk in fear and we're not doing what God's called us to do, then we're in disobedience, first of all. And so then we have to look at the Word of God, and what does the Word of God tell us? It tells us everything that we need to know. It really tells us everything that we need to know. If we're walking, if we step out in faith, because first of all, what you have to determine, though, is when you get that vision, that dream, that idea, the first thing you have to determine is that your dream, vision, idea, or is that God's dream, vision, idea that he's placed in you? That's a big difference. Because when we don't know that, then that's where I think it makes it hard for us to act upon it. Because if you don't, because I know what God's told me to do, I'm moving in it. And I'm trusting that because I believe that this is what God's told me to do, that He's going to make a way for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like I'm holding God to his word. And I know people say, woo, don't do that. I'm holding God to his word simply because in his word he tells me that he watches over his word to perform it and that it shall not return unto him void. Well, if he's watching over his word to perform it first, I know I got myself in check. The check part is, am I truly a child of God?
Mm-hmm.
Am I seeking him? Am I following, not that I'm perfect, but am I progressively following his command? Am I walking in the steps of the Lord? That's the first thing you have to identify. So, yes, I am his daughter. Undoubtedly, I am his daughter. So because I'm his daughter, I understand that in his word there are nuggets, there are promises for me. So when he gives me a dream vision idea, he said, Denise, I want you to start this ministry, or Denise, I want you to start this business. First of all, I have to make sure I believe it, because guess what? Oftentimes when he tells us stuff, we don't believe it. And when you don't, you can't move on what you don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe there's a chair sitting right by you and somebody's telling you to sit down, I don't care how much they tell you to sit down. I don't care how many times they tell you to sit down. If you don't believe it's a chair right there, guess what? You're not going to sit down. And it's the same thing, I believe, when we're walking in our passions and our dreams and visions. If we don't believe it, then we're not going to do it. And so why aren't you doing what God's called you to do? Why haven't you started that business?
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't you started that nonprofit? Why haven't you started? Because we could come up with a bunch of excuses. Well, I ain't got no money. I don't know how. But when I want to get my hair done, and let's say I see a particular style in a magazine, and I want to get that style done, and I know my budget is not the budget that's required to get that style done, guess what I'm going to do?
What's that?
Research and develop. I'm going to be calling all over town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be calling friends. I'm going to be calling family. I want to get this down. You know somebody who do that. And then by the time I get through, I'm going to probably find somebody who is within my budget that say that they can do that style. I mean, I'm going to work hard to find, and that's what we don't do. If you know that you want to do a nonprofit and you say, okay, most people tell you nonprofits cost $1,000. Just give an example. And you say, well, I ain't got $1,000. How many doors have you kept knocking on? Because if you keep knocking on the doors, God got that one person that God has already placed on their heart. You need to bless somebody with your talent, and their talent can be doing nonprofits. And all you got to do is speak it. All you got to do is knock. All you got to do is ask, because one of those doors, somebody's going to be behind that door that God has already preordained to fulfill that need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, as I sit here and listen, and as I think about this topic, I really want us to, as women especially, to understand that the first place that we have to be free and to be ourselves is in our mind. That's the first place, because we battle with ourselves so much in our minds. Our thoughts go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So we have to know who we truly are. We have to know who we truly are in order to stay confident, in order to stay ourselves, because we'll find that we're changing into so many different entities, so many different beings, when we don't know who we really are and know what we really want. And what I mean by that is, say, and I'm just going to use a relationship. Say you get into a relationship, and maybe you said, okay, this is the type of relationship I want. I want to be with somebody who, it doesn't matter how much money they make, because we can make money together. But they have to be willing to work. They have to be funny. They have to be smart. They have to not mind me being celibate. And then you get into this relationship and you start changing according to what you think that they want. And then all of a sudden you're so busy trying to be this person that they want that you forget who you are and what you want.
Mm.
And so you are not being yourself in that relationship. And that's one of the reasons why so many relationships end up not working is because
we
start being who we think that that person wants us to be or who that person is telling us that they want. And then you become those things, and then the relationship doesn't work, and you're like, well, I thought that's what you said out that you wanted, and so that's what I tried to become. But, again, we have to know that we know that we know who we are in our own minds and know what we want in our own minds and be able to engage in any type of environment being ourselves. If you don't like to wear makeup and you go walk out the door and you're confident before you walk out the door and then you get in front of people and they're all made up and you feel like you should have put some makeup on, you're not free to be yourself. Because now your confidence, you're losing your confidence based upon what other people are presenting to you. You should always know who you are and always know what you want and always be willing to stand your own ground in yourself. That doesn't mean that when you get into different situations like work and being in relationships that you don't compromise, give and take. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you don't become a whole nother person because you're now in a situation. You have this new job, and everybody on the job dresses in designer gear. Everybody on the job goes drinks coffee, and now you start doing that because everybody else started doing that. But you didn't like coffee in the first place. But because everybody else is doing it, now you begin to do it. The reason why God created all of us so different is because there's something that we have to offer to this world that nobody else can give to this world. Nobody else can touch people the way that you touch people. Nobody else can love people the way that you love people. They can love in their own way, but they can't do the things that you do the way you do it because they're not you. And so when you start rolling and reeling back, trying to become somebody else, then we're not being an extension of the kingdom. We're not coming here and doing the things that God called us to do. We're not living out our purpose. We're not living up to our full potential. And when I say full potential, a glass can hold so much capacity depending upon the glass. Now, you can put a little bit of water in there, or you can fill it all the way to the top. It's still going to be a glass. It's still going to hold water. It's still going to hold the water that you put into it. But if you only put a little bit in it, it's not the full potential of the glass. And when you fill it up to the top, it's filled to capacity, and it has, and it's at its full potential. And so when we come into this world, we are supposed to live out our full potential, the fullness of ourselves. And like you said earlier, it doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that we're not going to fail often. The failure is not supposed to begin to start putting limits and brakes on our passion. It's not supposed to be your training brakes. You know what I'm saying? It's not supposed to stop you from getting where you want to go. Actually, failure and frustration are supposed to be a fuel for you to work around. Like you said, I'm in this situation. How do I find out how I get what I want and how I get what I need? It's supposed to be a frustration. And somewhere up in this world, we've been trained to think that failure means you're no good. And when we start failing often, what happens is we start
building a habit,
and we stop being ourselves. We stop taking risks. We start putting ourselves in a box. And that means that we're not getting to the answer. Failure is supposed to happen because you have to get to the right answer. And so those closed doors or those failed spots mean this is not the right answer. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It means this is not
It should be a learning experience.
Exactly. This is not my right answer. I need to go and find my right answer. I need to go and find my right situation. Oh, nope, that's not it. Oh, nope, that's not it. Oh, nope, that's not it. This is it.
You know, you're saying that what came to mind is if somebody gave you a new car, so somebody handed you over the keys to a brand new 2016 500. You don't have the owner's manual because it was lost in the transition. All you have is the keys. The problem is that the car has no fuel in it. And because you have no knowledge of this car, you don't know what type of gas to put in it. Are you willing to let the car sit in the driveway, a brand new car, because you don't know what type of gas it takes? Or would you be willing to go to the gas station and put some gas in there and be willing for that gas not to be the right type of gas, so at least you know that's not the right type of gas, because I'm putting down the street to know that next time I get gas, now I'm gonna have to get premium gas because this car don't take unleaded. That's just an analogy, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We do because we don't know. We're not willing to seek the answer. We're not willing to fail. We'll just sit. I don't want to fail. I don't want to be wrong. So I'll just sit. And if I'm not mistaken, God talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the man who sat on his one talent
mm-hmm.
because he was scared to take a calculated risk. He was scared to fail. So because he was scared to fail, he ended up he ended up not getting anything because he was scared to fail. And we can't be scared to fall. We got to be willing to fail. And oftentimes because of our fear, we will not move forward in what we need to do because of whatever. One of the things is that failure also represents pain.
Oh, yeah.
Failure is connected to pain.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't want to feel pain. We don't want to feel pain, though we felt pain all of our lives. But we don't want to feel it because when we felt it before, it didn't feel good. So we try to avoid pain. But guess what? You can't. If you're living, do like this. Take a deep breath and blow out. And as long as you're able to do that, you will not be able to avoid pain. Pain is a part of life. Pain has various indicators to it. And what we have a tendency to do as humans is when the pain element come in, we will abandon assignment.
Oh, yes.
How many of us, like you said, because I wasn't successful that time, I'm not going to do it this time because I'm not going to be successful. Or God has given you an assignment, and you're on assignment, but because somebody at the church hurt your feelings, now all of a sudden you leave the church, you lay down your assignment, you leave position.
Mm-hmm.
You abandon your position because of pain. And we got to get to a point in life where we continue to push past pain, that we stay on assignment. Stay at your position, at your post. If God posted you somewhere, stay at your post. Because, and I'm repeating this part, well, I heard Sunday my pastor say is that sometimes the wounded still has to stay in the war.
That is so true.
That is so true.
They bandage themselves up and stay in the war.
And stay in the war. Keep on pushing.
And we have to continue to fight. We can't let our emotions now dictate to us how we live our lives. And so we definitely have to make sure that we stay in the fight. We stay in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make sure that we stay in the battle.
Amen. Amen. So we wanted to move forward and just, you know, on tonight, again, we are talking about who we are, free to be ourselves. Can we move forward? Can we step out? Can we trust to step out on what we believe we're supposed to step out on? Am I free to be me? Can I be who God called me to be? when I was thinking about this show on tonight, and a little poem came in my head, and I won't say I'm a poet, but a poem came in my head, and it's funny because Minister LaDance, I hadn't mentioned this poem to her, but then she started really teaching about it. And it's really short, but it says, "Hey, sister, has anybody told you that you can be the bold you? Don't let nobody mold you into a sold you for trinkets, which isn't fair play. You are free to be who God has called you to be." And that's it. We should be free to be who God's called us to be. We're supposed to know who we are in Him.
Definitely. We're definitely supposed to know who we are in Him. You know, as you were reading that poem, and again, my heart goes out to the women of the world, because there's so many standards of what other people expect that are pushed in our face consistently, mm-hmm. day after day after day after day. And most of us try and live up to those standards. There's so much reality TV going on, and when you watch the women on the reality TV, their makeup is perfect all the time, so you go onto YouTube, and now you're learning how to put makeup on and highlight this and highlight that, and, you know, you find yourself spending all this time trying to live up to these standards instead of spending your time trying to live out your passion.
Mm. That's so true.
Now, if you put a dollar amount on your time and you added it or you calculated it up, you said, okay, this is the amount of time that I've spent on my passion. This is the amount of time that I've spent on trying to live up to everybody else's standard. Which one would have paid you the most?
Trying to live up to
other people's
standards.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where your life is going to. And that's how you're spending your life.
And the thing about trying to live up to other people's standards, and this is true, at some point when you're trying to please people, whether it's your spouse, your parent, your employer, when you're trying to please other people, at some point, there's a spirit of resentment that comes. At some point, you're going to be resentful because first of all, you'll never have passion when you're trying to please other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. And it's passion that drives us. Passion is the fuel that keeps us doing and going. When you are doing something that you're passionate about, and you often hear people say, if you're doing something you're passionate about, it is not. You'll never feel like you're working.
Mm-hmm.
And so passion is what fuels us. Even when you're working and you don't enjoy your job, the passion for getting paid keeps you going to the job. Not because you like the job, but because of the fact that, well, you think about people, if you hate your job that much, how can you keep going? Because they got to. They got to be passionate about getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know if I go to this job, even if I don't like it, I know that if I go and I give them this many hours of my time every week, that at the end of the week or at the end of every other week, I'm going to get a paycheck. And that paycheck is going to allow me to survive. So I'm passionate about getting a paycheck. So passion is the thing that keeps us going. So if you're not passionate about something, it makes it very hard for you to continue in it. So when you're trying to be with other people, you know, live up to other people's standards or other people's expectations, eventually you will become resentful. You will become angry. You will become mad at the person that you are trying to live up to their expectations. You're going to be angry at them.
Definitely, definitely. And then you're going to be angry at yourself most of all, because you go back to that battle in your mind. I knew I shouldn't have did this. I knew I should have did this a certain way. You're consistently talking to, you talk more to yourself than you will ever talk to anybody else in this world other than God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The conversations that you have with yourself, and what are those conversations? You know, if you get up and you get dressed in the morning and you like what you have on, and then all of a sudden you change because, oh, this shirt is a little too revealing, or this skirt is a little too short, so people are going to think this, or people are going to say that. And it could be anything. You know, this doesn't match. So-and-so is going to say this doesn't match. And you start limiting yourself. You start holding yourself back. It's like having a Corvette. I'm going to go back to the car analogy. Having a Corvette that's able to go 180 miles an hour and you only drive it 30 miles an hour. It never reaches its full potential. Yes, it's a Corvette. Yes, it will still drive. Yes, it still looks good. But it will go throughout its life cycle, meaning there's a certain amount of time that the Corvette, that car is supposed to operate, and there's a certain amount of power that it's supposed to give. There's a certain amount that it's capable of doing. It's designed that way. And you never take it to its maximum potential, ever. Do you know that that car is not operating correctly because it never reaches its maximum potential? And that's the same way we are as people. So when you stop yourself from doing all that you're supposed to do and all that you can do, it's like driving a Corvette and never living up to the maximum potential.
Amen. Amen. So we definitely want to make sure that we're living up to our maximum potential. We want to make sure that we're not living up to other people's expectations. We want to be sure that we are walking in our destiny and who God's called us to be. Who did God call you to be? Who are you? Who, you know, really, who are you and who did he call you to be? Are you waiting to be defined by others? You know, are you tired of constantly getting these walls put up to you, telling you what you can't do? You know, you can't do this because you can't do this because you ain't going to never have a successful marriage because you already been married twice. You know, you're not going to never be able to buy a house because you had a foreclosure or you had an eviction. You know, we have all these what you can't do. And for it is already a statistical fact that for every 25 negative words, there's one positive word. So you're already getting a bunch of negative words. So what are the positive words that you're speaking into your life? Who are the people that you're allowing in your sphere of influence? Who are the people that you're allowing around you? What are they saying to you? Are they encouraging you? Are they telling you you could do it? Are they praying for you? Are they speaking good words to you? Are these the people that's constantly naysayers, that's constantly telling you what you can't do? You know, who you're not. You know, if you're around somebody all the time and all they're telling you is how fat you are, then guess what? That begins to tear away at you. And it's so funny because I was thinking about that. We better be careful who we bond with. And that could be anybody. That could be another female. Or it could be a male. Many women and men get into relationship with people, and you get into these relationships with people that you never should have gotten a relationship with, because guess what? We all have different levels. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. And that's not I'm better than you or you better than me. We all have different levels. And oftentimes what will happen is you could be on a level 5, and then all of a sudden somebody will come along that's a level 3. They know that they was never a level 5, but they want what they want. So when because they had the courage to go after something that was beyond them and get it, now they was willing to push past what they knew wasn't their level. So now they got you. You're level 5, they're level 3. They got you now. Well, what happens when a level 3 hits a level 5? And let's say the level 3 don't have the potential to make it to a level 5. The only way that level 3 could keep the level 5 is to bring the level 5 down to a 3. And guess what? How that starts with words. You got anger issues. You ain't this. You did this. You don't never answer my calls. You need to lose a little weight. You're getting kind of thick around the midsection. They begin to tear away at you. you're up on a five. You're sitting on a wall of a five, and all of a sudden, each time that wall get a dent by a negative word, that wall cracks down. And eventually, if you're not careful, when you leave out of that situation, if you leave out of it, you are no longer a level five. You have been depleted down to a level three. Now you're in eye contact with the level three that was trying to, that wooed you.
Uh-huh.
And now you find out. Before you even get down to a three, you didn't find out, but now you feel like you're captured. It's almost like getting caught up in a spider web. When a fly get caught up in a spider web or a bee or anything, once they're in that web, they can't get out unless somebody help them. So now you're in this web of deception because this level three then wooed you and made you think they was a level five, and you find out it's a level three. And now this level three don't have anything encouraging to tell you, because in order to lift you up, in order to speak words of life to you, that only thing he's going to do is push you, or she's going to do is push you further away from them. And that's not what their goal is. Their goal is to bring you down to either their level or below. By that time, you're depleted. That's what you see in abusive domestic violence relationships. That's what you see in mentally and emotionally abusive relationships, is that that person was never at that level in the first place. But now, in order to become equal, on an equal playing ground, somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to be depleted. And so you got to be careful when you're going to whatever, whether it's, if you, you know, even with a job, you know, when you, you know, when you're going to get a job, or when you're going in and you're pursuing a relationship, whatever it be, make sure, don't try to, and I'm not saying, and I want to be careful because I can hear somebody saying this as I'm saying this, I can hear somebody thinking, well, are you trying to tell me if I ain't got a job, don't accept a job unless it meets my, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to sit at home and starve or get your lights cut off or get kicked out of your place because you can't pay your bills. But what I'm saying is that, I'm not saying to that level, but what I'm saying is that don't allow fear to cause you not to reach for the best. Because that three didn't allow fear to reach for the best to get to the five, even if the three wasn't right, you know, wasn't equally balanced or equally yoked, but they had the confidence level that they were going to take that five, and that's what they did. But the five didn't have the confidence level to know that they was a five.
That's good. That's really good. And again, for those who are just joining us, we're talking about free to be yourself, free to be me, and what it takes to be truly ourselves in this world. You know, and we've discussed so many different traits of being ourselves. But again, you know, I definitely take it back to, just like Coach D just said, I take it back to, it first starts in our minds. We're never going to be able to be ourselves on the outside if we're not first ourselves on the inside.
Mm.
When you look in a mirror and you're battling with yourself, oh, I think I'm pretty, oh, no, I don't think I'm pretty, or oh, I like this on me, or no, I don't like this on me, or when you find yourself changing to be what everybody expects, like you get into one relationship, you try to be with that person once, you get into the next relationship, you try to be with that person once, somewhere up in there, you have to be willing to be courageous enough to love yourself with all of everything that's great about you and all of everything that's not so great about you. Yeah, I'm not a morning person. Yeah, I argue a lot. Yeah, I cuss a lot. Maybe you cuss a lot. And it doesn't mean continue cussing, but it means love yourself in spite of what other people might think or in spite of what other people might say. Stop beating yourself up. Stop tearing yourself down because you're trying to be what everybody else expects out of you and expects from you. If there's growth that you want to attain to and you want to get to because that's your desire, go out and do that. But don't do it because that's what somebody else expects from you, because when that somebody else is not there, then who are you?
Mm-mm.
Then what drives you? Then what defines you? you have to be willing to be you no matter who is on the scene and who is not on the scene. You have to be so willing to be you that even if you're the only person on the scene, you're still good. You're still okay. We come into this world by ourselves. We leave out of this world by ourselves.
Amen.
And so, again, you have to be free to be yourself, free to be all of who God has created you to be. That's the only way that we're going to find our joy in this world. If you're a happy person and you're a loving person, be that way all the time in every situation. When you show up, be who you are. Don't let what somebody else does or doesn't do dictate how you act in a situation. Don't let that happen. We get into all of these different challenges, issues, relationships in this world, and again, we start backing up. We start shying up. Well, the next relationship I get into, I'm not going to give out as much love as I gave out this time. No, you be you, because what you're beginning to do is strip who you are away a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Stay courageous enough to be you. And if you don't know what your likes and dislikes is, and I'm saying this happens to a lot of women because they get into relationships and they're so busy trying to be who that person wants them to be, that when they're out of that relationship, they now have to find out, what is it that I like? What is it that I don't like all over again? Spend time with yourself. Invest in yourself. How many books have you read? How many dates have you took yourself on? We're so busy, we don't even enjoy our own company sometimes. I can't go to a movie by myself. How come you can't? You're not good company? Start investing in yourself and who you are. And once you start doing that, you will begin to attract the type of people in your life that are quality people. And yeah, you're going to still deal with some fools and some foolishness, but you'll know how to maneuver through that foolishness because you'll be willing to stand up and say, you know what, not today, not in my life, mm-hmm. and not if you want to be here, and not if you want me here. I'm not dealing with that. We're not going to do that to each other because I know who I am and I know who I want, and it's okay for me to be me.
Mm. Amen. Well, we're going to take a moment and see if we have anyone in our listening audience that have any questions or comments. Please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment about tonight's show. Again, we thank you for tuning in. For those that's in the studio as well as those that's listening via the Internet, we thank you again for tuning in on tonight's show. We are coming towards the end of our show, and we just want to give our studio audience an opportunity to, this would be the time to speak. And while we are waiting on our studio audience, we're going to continue on with the broadcast.
Amen. And definitely, you know, as we come to a close of our program, I would ask every woman listening, what have you done this year totally for yourself? That it wasn't for anybody else, but it was because you wanted to do it, you enjoyed doing it, and you got a kick out of it. And you didn't have to be dictated, your reactions didn't have to be dictated by somebody else. So you got up what time you wanted, maybe you took a vacation. You got up when you got ready to get up, you went to bed when you got ready to go to bed. You know, sometimes we take vacations with our friends and because they want to get up at this time and you know you don't want to, you get up anyways because that's what they want, and then you end up having a bad time.
Mm.
And, again, I'm not saying compromise. Don't compromise. What I'm saying is it's okay if you say, you know what, I'm going to bed right now or I'm not getting up till 12. I'll catch up with you guys. And it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to do something for yourself. It's okay to, again, invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Find out what you like in this world. Find out what you don't like in this world. You, again, you'll get into touch with the joy that's inside of you when you decide, when I walk out of this door, I'm the same person as when I'm inside of this door. I don't care if I don't have makeup on. I don't care if I'm rushing out and I have my slippers on. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody else, but it has everything to do with me. Because I have my slippers on doesn't make me less of a woman, less of a person, or less of who I am.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we have to get into those points where, and you know me, I can walk in somewhere and somebody can say, well, how come you didn't put your makeup on? Or how come, I think I'm cute. And I don't care who don't think I'm cute. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm cute. I think I'm smart. I don't care who doesn't think I'm smart. And I know I'm not the wisest, most intelligent person in this world. I know that. But I know what I bring to the table. And what I don't have or can't bring to the table, I know how to either find out how to get it so that I can bring it, or find out where to go get it so I can bring it, or find out somebody who has it so they can bring it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, again, you know, this topic has been about free to be you. And I would challenge all of us to, when we go away this evening, find out what is important for us. What do we want our lives to, how do we want our lives to read out when we leave this earth? And start putting motion and action and step to live out your life story. Start living out your life story. If you're not already doing it, start living out your life story today. You are the author. You are designing your story. How do you want it to read? And it doesn't matter how it reads to others. If somebody else says it's boring, it's what you want and what you find exciting, what you find not so exciting. Start living out your life story today.
Amen. Well, we thank you all for joining us on tonight. We pray that there was something said on the show that has encouraged you, inspired you, empowered you. That's what Woman to Woman is about. We ask, we have an ask of you, and we don't ask often, but our ask of you is, if this show is has been enjoyable to you, not just tonight's show, but any of our shows. December the 1st made our one-year anniversary for Woman to Woman. We are still trying to grow. We are still pushing the show. And so we do need your help. We need your help. And simply by you referring or telling your friends, your girlfriends and your sisters and cousins and aunts and whoever else about the Woman to Woman show, and having them tune in on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and that's 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have them tune in. If this show has brought anything to you, we appreciate you. And the best that you could do for us is tell someone else. We go somewhere, we get a good hairstyle, or we get a nice outfit, or we get some good food. We are constantly, by word of mouth, telling others. And so we ask that you tell others. The other thing, that's the first ask. The other thing we want to ask you on tonight is this. If you know of anyone that has a interesting, you know, that has a story to tell, and especially as it pertains to womanhood, if you know of someone that you think would make a dynamic guest on our show, please email us, inbox us, text us, do something. Let us know so that we could interview with this person and speak with this person and see if they would be a good fit. We're always trying to bring fresh subject matters, things that concern women, to the show so that we could be a blessing to you and that we could be a blessing to many. And this is the best possible way to
globally hit all over the world. And there's so many women that's hurting. There's so many women that's out there. You know, the Woman to Woman show came about not just because we need another talk show, that we need another blog show. What makes this show unique is a couple of things. One, you don't have to leave the comforts of your own. You can dial in via phone or you can listen in via the Internet. That's the first unique thing. The second thing is that it's Christ-based. Wherever we talk about, whether it's talking about dryness from menopause or whether it's talking about celibacy or whether it's talking about the best place to get great deals on clothing, regardless of what any subject matter that's concerning women, we talk about it. But everything we talk about always have a biblical base, foundation, giving you a fucker. We know that no matter what you go through in life, we know that whatever we face in life, and we will face some stuff, and we know that we are humans. We know that we are spirits housed in flesh. So we know that there is a humanity side of us. But we also know that we are nothing, nothing without God. And so we always acknowledge that on this show, and we always acknowledge that we actually submit to a higher authority. And then the other good thing about it is this. This is a place. This is not a place of condemnation or judgment. This is a place where you can tune in weekly, every Tuesday, without doubt, rain, snow, sleet. You could tune in, and you're going to get Minister LaDon, and you're going to get Coach D. And we weren't just born, and then all of a sudden we're living out our dreams. We had to go through some stuff. We had to go through some life. We have some life experiences, so oftentimes we're not telling you about nothing that we haven't been through. I actually heard someone say, well, if somebody been divorced, they can't tell me about marriages. Quite the contrary. If they've been divorced, they could possibly tell you a whole lot about marriages because they've experienced it. They could possibly tell you what not to do to get a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that, be careful, you know, when you say that, because I'm going to tell you, there's a woman who is a billionaire. She never had no kids, and she never had a husband. But women will tune in to her shows weekly, 2, 3, 4 times a week, to listen to what she has to say, to listen to the guests that she brings on. And you all know who I'm speaking about. Yes, I'm speaking about Oprah Winfrey. She is a billionaire, and she is making things happen, and people will value her advice. And they'll value her advice about how to raise their children. They'll value her advice about their relationships and their marriages. And she has no marriage or no children. So I'm saying to you, this, we believe, is a good show. We believe that we're sowing on good ground. And we believe that there is an anointing that could go forth to encourage, empower, and educate women. And so we're just asking you to partner with us. Let others know on Tuesday nights to tune in to Woman to Woman. And also, if you have certain subject matters, please let us know. We won't know unless you let us know. So let us know if there's certain subjects that you want to hear more on, more about on the show. Again, we appreciate you. We thank you for tuning in on tonight. This is Coach D.
And Minister LaDon.
We love you.
Woman to woman.
Ooh, woman to woman. Songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of life. Sing it again.
Woo. Songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of life we sing.
Woman to woman.
Woman to woman.
Songs of life we bring. Songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and songs of joy.